No homo, Ryan. You look great. Okay, let's start this.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Okay,
ready? 3, 2, 1. What's up, Alpha Pack?
I'm Chad.
I'm Jake.
I'm Ryan.
Welcome to the Alpha Female Podcast.
Our topic today is, what will it take to provide women with good healthcare in the United States in the 21st century?
Yup, let's get it. Okay, so today we had a pretty big thesis statement. We noticed that nobody was talking about this stuff. So we were like, you know what, Pack?
Yeah.
Let's make a good thesis statement about this and let's finish some answers. Let's get some answers.
Yeah. This topic has never been covered before in the history of the world.
Ever.
We really need to talk about it.
Okay. Our thesis statement. To provide women with good health care in the United States, we must educate women on what they deserve. We can do this by providing more comprehensive education on contraceptives and reproductive care, breaking the norm of being an active mother, as well as helping those mothers financially, physically, and mentally. And finally, we can also encourage and make more accessible medical research for women that were only exclusive to men.
That's right, guys. We're going to be talking about all of this and more in today's episode.
Okay, let's get into it. First, we're talking about mothers and healthcare. I made some 8 points that really cover this topic, so let's get into it. My first point. Although nearly 9 in 10 mothers are at high risk of going without needed preventive and primary care. Millions? Does anybody hear the word millions?
Millions of uninsured mothers.
Prevent, like, primary care that all mothers deserve, they don't get it. Millions.
What?
What? Okay. Although nearly 9 in 10 uninsured mothers are members of working families, most lack access to affordable coverage through their job or spouse's job.
What? Wait, even though they're working, they lack access to affordable coverage?
Yeah, so they don't, or they get less than their spouse in their spouse's job or their job.
That's so sick and not in a good way, you guys.
I'm gonna throw up in my mouth. Our results clearly show there are significant gaps in postpartum healthcare access, particularly for mental health services and for mothers with Medicaid coverage.
Wow.
Next. And while postpartum people with commercial insurance generally had lower levels of social needs, higher care use, and better health outcomes than those with Medicaid, many outcomes still fell short of what may be considered ideal.
So what does that, like, really mean if we break it down?
I would say that even though a mother and her spouse could have commercial insurance, like AARP or GEICO and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. if they get health insurance at all, they don't. They don't have the ideal coverage that a mother would truly need.
Did you guys know that among reproductive age women who are ineligible for Medicaid, because their state has refused to expand the program, nearly 2/3 of those women are women of color?
What?
So this goes so far beyond just women. It goes into the community of Native American women and Black women, Hispanic women, Asian women. This goes so far beyond what a lot of people think it does.
It's just awful. Okay, let's go on to the next sub-question. This is Mr. Chad.
This is my sub-question. So, how does the lack of reproductive health care affect the livelihoods of women? So, I want to tell you guys a quick story about this injustice, and then we're going to go straight into an interview that was given by a member at our school. So, have you guys heard of Kate Cox?
I have not heard of Kate Cox. Tell me about her.
So she was a woman in Texas who was pregnant, and her child had a incurable disease called trisomy 18. And when her child was born, the chances of the baby living past a day were slim to none. So she made the decision to get an abortion to save her and her child from further suffering. And since she lived in Texas, the rule was she could not get an abortion unless it directly threatened her life. So she made her case, Mm-hmm. And she presented it to the Supreme Court of Texas, and they said, no, you are not allowed to get an abortion.
Was this after or before Roe v. Wade was?
This was after Roe v. Wade was overturned. This just took place a few months ago. So she had to leave the state in order to obtain her care and was met with protesting all along the way. This, by denying Kate Cox her abortion, it could have severely damaged her health and well-being, plus her ability to have future children. It caused doctors in Texas to become nervous about performing the procedure because a menacing letter was sent to doctors saying that whoever aided Kate Cox in her abortion would be prosecuted.
Yeah.
It's truly horrific.
Do we know how things went down? Do we know if she did get her abortion?
She did get her abortion.
Okay, that's good.
And she was able... So now her health has been salvaged, because if she were to have been forced to go through a C-section, it could have affected her health as well as the health of her child, who already had a fatal disease.
Exactly.
And now we would like to talk about our guest, who we interviewed a couple days ago. And would you like to tell us about her?
Yes. So a couple days ago, we interviewed a very prominent figure in our school, Miss Addie Leiden. We asked her questions about her view on abortion, but also we interviewed her on her view of where she thinks women's rights will go from here on. So do you want to summarize kind of what she said?
Yeah, she talked a lot about the state of women's health in this country and what she has seen firsthand as a result of either the overturning of Roe v. Wade or before that, when she would just see protesters protesting on her street. And the things she was saying and the way that she believes the direction of America is going for women is truly something that we as Americans are not prepared for this, and it's a horrible thing. And we're just going to let you guys hear it straight from her. So here is that clip.
I see.
Are you worried about women losing more rights in the future?
Yeah, I think the Dobbs case has been the biggest indicator. If you had asked me 5 years ago, I thought there's no way that Roe versus Wade would be overturned in this society, because there's not many times in our history where we go backwards on rights. Like, usually when you are given a right, we expect that right at that point, and it gets stronger as time goes on. But that's such a backturn that it became apparent to me that women, it could go backwards for women. And you see a lot of the women protesting with, like, Handmaid's Tale, and this idea that, like, is that really the society that we're going to end up in? But I feel like there's so many men that make decisions now when it comes to laws, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I actually am worried for your generation and it going backwards, which I never thought was possible until the overturn of Roe versus Wade.
Don't sit like that.
All right, guys.
Hold on.
Wait, one second. We're moving on to our final sub-question. In what ways does medical gaslighting affect women opposed to men?
Does it?
Well, yeah, it does, because throughout medical history, research has solely been done on the white male, meaning that making diagnoses of other ethnicities and other genders inherently harder because there's no research on them and how their genes and how their biology works within their own system. So this shows up mainly in the form of women not getting the same amount of pain relief after undergoing the same surgery that men do. Like, you could have the same surgery as your husband, and you might not get the same amount of relief through your pain that your husband does, just because you're a woman.
And it's the same exact surgery.
Same exact surgery.
It could be performed by the same exact doctor.
Exactly.
Pardon my language, you guys, but this is bullcrap. This is bullcrap. This is so unfair.
A study in 2019 also found that women get diagnosed with heart disease an average of 4 years later than men. 4 years, guys. And it's crazy, too, because the number one killer of women is heart disease.
Can in 4 years a woman pass away from
inherently dangerous heart disease.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So this may be killing women as well as just stalling their progress.
Exactly. Yep.
Wow.
It's like going undiagnosed with like a dangerous cancer, and it only gets worse, and you're just too late.
This is awful, you guys.
Professionals stress that medical gaslighting often begins to occur when providers treat births as a medical event and the person delivering as just a body rather than a full person.
But just a body?
Just
a
body.
They're not just a body, they're a human being.
Exactly. And they're doing a wonderful thing by giving life, and it's such an important event in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Women have been reported to wait an average of 16 minutes longer than men for pain treatments.
So that's 16 minutes of extra suffering that could have been used to give them relief.
Exactly.
Yep. Would you say 16 minutes can be deadly?
It could be. If you're bleeding internally, your organs could begin to fail within that time. And if they don't take you seriously, it's going to be even harder for you to recover.
Wow, you guys.
Yep.
Okay, my bros, my folks, my peeps, my pack. This has been our first and possibly our last episode of the Alpha Female Podcast. Thank y'all so much for tuning in on what will it take to provide women with good healthcare in the United States. I've been Jake.
I am Chad.
I'm Ryan.
And thank you for watching.